I'm going to make a bold statement that the first Christmas number one occurred many centuries before the official charts. The first Christmas number one was the host of heavenly angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." These are the words that have echoed down through the centuries, inspiring not only shepherds on the hillsides tending their flocks to bring their worship to the Son of God, born in a stable in Bethlehem, but also inspiring many others to bring their worship to God as well. We're going to sing a carol by Isaac Watts in a short while, but there's another carol by him, less well known, which perhaps better encapsulates the glory of the angel song that night and the call to worship they offered then and now. "Shepherds, rejoice, lift up your eyes and send your fears away. News from the region of the skies, salvation born today. Jesus, the God whom angels fear, comes down to dwell with you. Today he makes his entrance here, but not as monarchs do. No gold, nor purple swaddling bands, no royal shining things. A manger for his cradle stands and holds the King of Kings. Go, shepherds, where the infant lies and see his humble throne. With tears of joy in all your eyes, go, shepherds, kiss the Son." Thus Gabriel sang, and straight around the heavenly armies throng. They tune their harps to lofty sound and thus conclude the song. "Glory to God that reigns above, let peace surround the earth. Mortals shall know their Maker's love and their Redeemer's birth. Lord, and shall angels have their songs and men no tunes to raise. Oh, may we lose these useless tongues when they forget to praise. Glory to God that reigns above, that pitied us forlorn. We join to sing our Maker's love, for there's a Saviour born." There is something about the Christmas story that has always caused humanity to respond to the wonder of it in song. Even the recent Christmas number ones that we've had have become regular earworms of the season, and even though they may not say anything about the real Christmas story, perhaps they tap into some subconscious human desire to welcome the Christ child in music and in song. We think of the star of the Christmas story as being only a visual sign to navigate the wise men to the infant Jesus. He was likely a toddler when they arrived. But did you know that stars also produce radio waves that help astronomers detect which type of star they are? Could it be that stars sing? Could it be that the star of the Christmas story was the universe singing its welcome to Jesus? The whole universe responding to the Creator coming to be one with it. Song and music have been part of Christian worship to greater or lesser degrees throughout its history. And it's seemingly a natural way that we express what we're feeling, and it's a particularly good way for us to express feelings of praise and thanks, which are perhaps the most natural response to us to wonder in Jesus' incarnation. As we heard in the words of Psalm 98 at the beginning of the service, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation." In response to what God has done for us, the psalmist says singing is a natural response. Christmas is a season for song, whether you're a person of faith in Jesus or not. The Christmas songs begin in shops somewhere just south of Halloween, but also they seem to stop abruptly on Christmas Day. The traditional Christmas favourites are on repeat on whichever radio station or streaming service you listen to, but once Christmas Day is over, they seemingly disappear from your playlist. My mum used to like to declare, as soon as we'd finished Christmas lunch, "Well, that's over for another year." which was always kind of dispiriting. However, Christmas is not over once Christmas Day draws to a close. There are the traditional 12 days of feasting that are the Christian celebration of Christmas, and they last until January the 6th. So it's still very much Christmas now. That's why the candles are still burning. But there's also the response of worship that Christmas raises up within us. It shouldn't disappear from our lives after midnight on Christmas Day, only to reappear 12 months later. The wonder of God becoming incarnate in our world, the wonder of God humbling himself to be born in his stable, the wonder of the Word made flesh should not leave us. An interesting fact I picked up during this year was this. If any of you listened to the service of Nine Lessons and Carols from King's College at 3 p.m. on Christmas Eve, will know that it begins with a solo chorister singing the first verse of Once in Royal David's City at the west door of the chapel. The interesting fact I learnt was that none of the choristers know which of them is going to sing this solo until the moment before it happens, when the choir master points at one of them to sing it. They have to sing it live on radio in that moment with no warning. The Christmas story is supposed to do this to us every day, point deep within us and cause us to spontaneously declare in wonder that God has come to be with us. Whether our song of praise is in or out of tune, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that we declare this amazing truth to the world. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth be peace to whom, on whom his favour rests. Through the song of the angels, God drew uneducated shepherds to worship the child Jesus. Through the shining star, God drew the wisest to journey in faith to Jesus. And through the songs of our lives, and through our lives shining like stars, God can still draw others to Jesus. So may we declare his praises this Christmas time and every day. Amen.